Devar pulls away.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and welcome to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'd like to welcome you back tonight. Tonight is Thursday, the 2nd of February, 2016. We thank you for joining us tonight,
right,
and we pray that all is well with you and your family. Tonight we're going to touch upon a subject that deals deals with marriages, well, not marriages really, but with single Christians and couples, young couples, living together, cohabitating, shacking up, whatever you want to call it. But what we're going to do is we're going to discuss it a little bit and give some insight, hopefully, and help some folk out. Because there's really like four different scenarios that we're going to touch upon today. First of all, we're going to talk to some encouragement for the singles, saved singles, for the unsaved couple. We're going to try and share some wisdom for young people 18 and under who are growing up and seeing, you know, folk, they might know folk who live together their whole lives and don't see a problem with it. And our fourth one is going to be our Christian couple, you know, new believers who just come to Christ, but they've been living together a couple of years. So we're going to share some insight and some wisdom with that as we move forward. We have some guests today, and we'll introduce them in a moment. But we're going to we're going to open up with prayer first, and we're going to open up with the Word, and then we're going to go right into the conversation. Lord God, we say thank you today, O God. Thank you, God, for what you've done and what you're doing in our lives, Lord God. We thank you for this day, Lord God. We thank you, God, for mercy and grace, O God. We thank you for discernment, God. We thank you for the wisdom, O God, that comes from you, Lord God. Father, continue to strengthen us, O God. Father, we pray today, O God, that you would touch the hearts and minds of men today as they lead their families, God, as they love their wives, O God, as they raise and mentor and disciple their children. Father, continue to strengthen the man, oh God, that he would know his role and his place in the family, that as a husband he would lead his wife, and as a father he would guide and direct his children. Father, we pray today, God, for those men who are struggling in the midst of God, for those men, oh God, whose life, God, is burdening them and wearing them down, Lord God. We're praying for encouragement. We're praying for strength. We're praying, God, they would not give up, God, but they would seek you, seek your guidance, and seek your wisdom, God, to carry on and carry through. This is our prayer today, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, welcome. We have a couple announcements here at Issues Christian Men's Talk. We have an upcoming event. It's a man-up event. This will be our third event coming up soon, and it's going to be held on April the 9th. April the 9th, for my listeners in the local Baltimore, Virginia, D.C. area, it's going to be April the 9th. Our location is it's coming. We haven't got locked down that location yet, but we have built a coalition of ministries to men, and we're coming together. We have five ministries participating, and they're coming together, and I'm not going to call it a men's breakfast, because we're doing a different kind of format. We're doing some small group sessions and some teaching, and we're doing some engaging. We're going to speak directly to some of the issues that men are dealing with, and we're going to get some feedback on and share the wisdom amongst the men. And we do this as to be able to build a fellowship and koinonia within the body of Christ and with those men who are seeking to try to, you know, live their lives according to God's will and seek encouragement and need the fellowship of the saints. Amen. So you can follow us on Facebook, Issues Christian Talk. As more details come, we'll be adding it to the Facebook page. And you can listen here every Monday and Thursday night. And we'll have details as we get closer and closer to the event. But mark your calendars, pencil it out, put it in your tablet, put it on your phone. Saturday, April the 9th, 2016, for the next Man Up event. Amen? Amen. Well, we're going to go right to the conversation. I'm going to start. We're going to introduce. We have some guests tonight that are joining us, and we're going to introduce them. Pastor Arthur Thompson, how are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you guys tonight?
Wonderful, wonderful. Brother, I thank you very much, Pastor, for joining us, taking time out of your schedule to come on with us and share some wisdom, and hopefully we can encourage some lives and help some people out seek those answers they need, because we believe in building strong families. But this is something I think is really prevalent within our community, you know, shacking up, living together, and all that. And then the church, sometimes, I don't know, we compromise, we don't address it, or we're praying about it. But tonight, we're going to talk about it a little bit. We're going to go over the pros and cons, and we're going to touch on something. Hopefully, someone will hear it and be encouraged, and they make the choice for themselves. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Pastor Watkins, are you with me tonight? Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Pastor Cornwell, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Amen, sir. Amen. Amen. Irene. Okay, I'm really got my roll call going. Pastor Watkins, are you here? Yep, I guess we don't have Pastor Watkins. Amen. Well, let's, I'm going to begin. We're going to go around. Pastor Thompson, I'm going to start with you, sir. Right, well, let's begin in the beginning. You know, we're going to go straight to it. Is it wrong for couples to live together before marriage, or is it, what is it? Where is it? What's the wisdom we want to share with folk today?
Well, I say no, and that's typically from a biblical perspective. I just don't believe that that's the best that God has set forth for us because, you know, in the church, we believe that God ordained marriage and marriage, and if God ordained marriage, then we certainly ought to do it his way. So I don't think living together reflects the commitment that God instituted and ordained for marriage to be. Amen.
Amen, sir. Amen. Pastor Coleman, what do you think, sir?
Well, I agree. I agree 100%. The scriptures clearly tell us that we need to do things God's way. I had a conversation with a non-believer the other day, and it was funny how people tend to say, well, that's, I hear you, but there's also that live together and before they got married, and they're fine. Or I did such and such before I got married, and I'm fine. They stand real hard on that, look at you like you're crazy. And I tend to say to people who are not born again, well, you know, I think it's unfair for me to push Christian values on you. And so, therefore, if you don't believe in God's way, you know, it doesn't apply to you. Do it your way because in the end, you know, you're going to have what you want anyway. And therefore, you don't want to be around God. That's what you'll have. So that's fine. Just keep doing your way. That's fine. I have nothing against that. If that's what you want to do. They go, wait a minute, where are you saying I'm going to be in the end? Oh, if you don't do things God's way, you know, that's fine. Live your life that way. And in the end, you'll have your reward. And I'm not going to push you and make you go to heaven. And so so I tend to try to take it from that standpoint. You know, live your life, do what you want to. That's fine. Live, and if that's what you want to do, just know that in the end, I'm not going to make you be a Christian. I'm not going to make you go to heaven. So you do things your way, and I'm going to try to put things out there God's way. And that tends to make them pause and think for a second. Are you telling me I'm going to hell? No, you're telling me you are. And so, you know, I said, it depends on what you want. If you want to live things the way God wants you to, so be it. If you want to do it the way the world says do it, then so be it. It's no pressure. And that tends to let them stop and slow down a little bit. And then they make their choice to want to do it God's way, even if they're not even a Christian. Brother Deacon.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. I agree. You know, it's funny. You're right. When you talk to folk, it's hard to be able to when you know hold them to a certain standard of what God is saying, and then they ask you about it. But I mean that's one thing. But let me put this to you to the panel here. You know, what is the church's responsibility for these couples? You know, if we have a couple who comes into the church, they've been living together, or I'm gonna go with them first because there's so many scenarios here. But they have been living together. And then they come into the body. Now, what is the church's responsibility? How would you handle that? Let's start with you, Pastor Thompson. What do you think, sir?
Well, I usually take the preference, of course, to sit down and, you know, first I need to develop their relationship with the Lord and you know, try to help them refine what it is that they're saying that they believe. But personally, I believe we have a great responsibility if they're in the church and if they're making an attempt to live Christ-like, but I think that there's a great level of ignorance. Now, and like my brother was saying, I believe that some just believe the church is a good thing to do, and, you know, they just come to church and they don't even want the people in the church to know that they're married. And so they live this way, but yet, you know, they're not fully in the body of Christ. So, again, that's why I want to find out just where they're at. And then once I can find out where they're at in their relationship with the church, and then sort of want to coach them to God's best, and certainly have them both come to understand the importance of their relationship with God, because I think so often we believe that if people are living together, then the best way to fix it is to marry them. But if one is not walking, you know, if they're unequally yoked, but they still come into church, I don't see that as being a best scenario either. So it's trying to coach them to a position that they have to understand. But again, the flip side is understanding that if they're not coming fully into, you know, the fellowship with the Lord and building on that relationship, then they're at their own peril as they go forward as a couple. So I think, yeah, the church does have a great responsibility. And just like the rest of the people that come into church with issues that don't align up with God's word, we should make every effort to bring people to the fullness of the Lord. The church is a hospital. So that's a location where we ought to want to pull people into and make every effort. Does it work all the time? Of course not. But that shouldn't prevent us as leaders from making a gallant attempt to get people saved. And then once they're saved, you know, it don't have to be a big elaborate system, but let's put them together under the guise of God's, and then continue to coach them as they go forward in their marriage. Back to you there, Brother Deacon.
Amen, sir. Pastor Cornwell, what do you think, sir? We're gonna. What do you think? How this should be? Well, first, once the church finds out, because I agree with what Pastor was saying. They'll come to church as a couple, and they'll walk that walk until you find out. So that's the thing. You know, I was shocked that I found out the previous church I was at, that there were couples. Well, there was at least one couple that was there, and they carried it like they were man and wife, and then come to find out they were not married, but they've been together so long they took on the appearances. Amen. But Pastor Cornwell, what do you think, sir, about the church's responsibility for working this out between those couples who are already living together?
Well, much like my brother Pastor was saying, you know, what we have to do is take an approach to see how in love with God this couple is. If this couple, and sometimes it is a matter of ignorance. It's a matter of not really being taught. A lot of times there are pastors, and I just have to put it out there, who, because if I stand against, and the only way to say it is to put up the traditional word we would use is shacking. If I stand against shacking, I know that the giving will drop, because there's a lot of individuals who are in that boat. They start living together for whatever reasons. Economically, they always use those reasons, and they truly believe that it benefits them to do this until they get married, and they don't want to rock the boat and start talking about it. And of course, pastors sort of know, you know, you sort of know, the Holy Spirit sort of reveals some things to you, and even if it doesn't, you begin to be it's little certain words that they just don't say, that they just indicate they're not married. You know, they will say certain things, and then you would hear it and you want to just flat out say, hey, are you guys married? But you don't want to touch it because, you know, you don't want to mess up the coffer. So again, I think it's a matter of when they come to your church and they walk in the door and they begin to, you know, to express the fact that they want to become a part of the body, your local body, that it's good just to, you know, not to beat them, but to see how much they love the Lord and how much they are willing to grow in the Lord and point them toward a relationship with the Lord. And then say, and to educate them to the point where they will say, well, the Holy Spirit will do all the work. And will convict them enough so that they'll say, hey, Pastor, can I ask you a question? Look, I don't want to let it out there, but I'm going to come to you. And I've had it done before, Pastor, and I'm going to let you know something, okay? But I don't want everybody in my business. Well, what's going on? We want to get some counseling. Or, okay, you don't out them in front of the church and try to embarrass them. You know, first of all, you bring them to the side and you begin to religiously educate them. And you show them what it means to love the Lord. You show them scriptures. And you take time out to let them understand. And then with that, you don't have to have you don't have to guide them towards some great big elaborate wedding. You know, it can be something that's, in fact, I've married people, just me, them. I had a couple times I've had marriages where it was just myself, the couple, my wife, and their parents, and that was it. And just brought them there together, had a service in the church, and, you know, married them. One couple went to the JOP and said, Justice of Peace, and said, hey, listen, you know, we married already, but we didn't want anybody to know. You know, I said, that's fine, but let's do it before the eyes of the Lord. You know, just took them, had his parents, her parents come, and it's just me and my wife and another minister came there, and we just performed the ceremony. My wife sang some songs, and we just had a good time, went out to eat afterwards and called it a day. It didn't have to be bring everybody and have a great big elaborate service. But again, I go back to educating them and getting them to understand what it means to love the Lord. If you love the Lord, the Holy Spirit should convict and will convict, especially when you give them enough of the word. It will bring them to a point where they will submit. And you don't have to force them or make them or beat them up or embarrass them. And that's the image that the world gives that couple. If you say something, you're going to be embarrassed. If you say something, you'll be outed. And you'll be, oh, so you mindful not saying anything. Just like a teenager, what they do and kids do. They don't want to be embarrassed, so they keep living their thing and thinking they're hiding their hands. So the thing is to let them know, okay, I know, but I'm not going to beat you. Here's what the word says. Let's do what's right. What do you think? And then they'll say, well, okay, yes, I'll do what's right. Back your hands, Brother Deacon.
Amen, sir. I thank you for that because, you know, that is one of the things. I think it goes back to everything else that we're taught in Scripture and what Scripture teaches. We need to handle folk gently, and especially for the new Christian and for the unbeliever. Again, these are ministering opportunities, you know, and I believe that, you know, when we find this, now we're just talking about a couple that's already been living together. We have some other scenarios we're going to get into right now. But this is just some wisdom that we want to share with those because, you know, again, if we're doing outreach, if we're getting the lost, we're getting the unchurched, this is going to be an issue and the topic is definitely going to come up. And like you said, you both mentioned it. There's more to it. When we say shacking up, we put it in that term. But there's financial ties. There's emotional ties. There's a lot of things going on. And let's not even talk about if they have kids together. So we have to have enough grace and enough wisdom, I believe, in the body of Christ to be able to approach it with some grace. Because I know that, you know, we hear folk, you know, well, sometimes we hear folk go off about it. You know, we're going to go off about shacking and all this other stuff. But, you know, we have to remember, everybody wasn't born saved. Everybody wasn't raised in the church. So if our doors are truly open to the unbeliever, to the redeemed and to the lost, we have to be able to handle that. Amen? You're listening to Issues Amen. Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here with Pastor Maurice Cornwell and Pastor Arthur Thompson. And today we're talking about, we're getting a perspective and we're talking about living together, shacking up. You know, sharing, moving in together, and for all kinds of reasons, people do it. Well, gentlemen, I want to go to one now. I want to go to saved singles. You know, these saved singles. This is our scenario. These are saved singles who were raised in the church. They was in kids' church, youth church. They was in teen church. They was young adults and whatever. They was in all of it. They was there. You know, they went with grandma every week and mama and everybody. But now they get to that age when they didn't make these choices. Now, how do we approach them? We assume that, like I say, they were raised in the church, they're saved, but now it's two scenarios. Either they come to you or you find out. What do you think? What's the best way? How do we really talk to them and get to the point where, you know, okay, what are you, you know, I'll be the rough guy. You guys could be the nice guy. I go, what are y'all doing? Don't y'all know no better? Now, what would you brothers say? I'm going to start with you, Pastor Cornwell, sir.
Okay. I find out what I would do is again, I would take them to the word, you know, because you said this young person or young people know the word. It's just the fact that the world has crept into their heart, onto their mind, and begin just like, and let's just be honest, they're not everybody in church, even folks who've been saved. In fact, if you start putting people out of church for doing wrong, the church will be empty. You know, if you start checking people at the door for some particular sin that they're doing before they can actually, come into the church would be empty. You know, there's, the Bible says clearly, there's any who says they have no sin, he's a liar. So we need to take it from that perspective and realize this young person may hear the word, you know, but they, and they may have a formal godliness, but they're denying the power. They're denying the ability to move in the Lord with power. And I begin to find out, I go to scripture like 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you know, and I'll say to them, which word says examine yourself, you know. Look at verse 21 and 22. It's clearly, let's go down here real quick. It says, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from the very appearance of evil. And in verse 23, and the very God of peace will sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you want to try to present, I would try to present to that young person to make sure that they don't do anything that looks bad upon God, because eventually what's done in the dark is going to come to the light. I would take them to scriptures like Ephesians chapter 5 and basically say, do not just act thoughtlessly, you know, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. I would take them there so they can understand those things. You know, you were once in darkness. Ephesians 5 goes on, 8 and 10 says, you know, basically says you were once in darkness, but now you're in the light. So you live as children of the light, so that your fruit of light consists of goodness and righteousness and truth, and you find out what pleases the Lord. So these are things I would take the young person to guide them toward, again, the love of God, and just start off kind of easing, you know. I wouldn't come at them trying to say, you know, because one thing about a young person who begins to taste of that pleasure, the sensation, it's kind of hard to tell a young person, hey, it's not good, when they see their young body's going, yeah, okay, I hear you. You old. You don't know any better. You forgot. You know, it is good, and you got to sit back and wrestle with that flesh of that young person and the demons that's trying to influence this young person, and then the other young person is trying to influence this young person. You have a lot to deal with, so it's better to go with scriptures. Like if Ephesians loaded, it says, Ephesians 5 and 1 says, be the imitators of God. You know, there's so many scriptures that we can point them to just tell them about pleasing the Lord, loving the Lord, and keep them there, because they're thinking love anyway. Their little heart says, I'm in love. Take advantage of that point. And so I talk, point them toward love. Well, what is love of God? Let's talk about it. And then turn them back to say, what do you think? What are you thinking? What are you thinking? And then they'll end up saying, well, and eventually, they're going to come up with a bunch of excuses, but eventually they will acquiesce. Brother Deacon?
Amen, sir. Pastor Thompson, what do you think, sir? How do we? What would you? You know, we talking to young folk who've been in church a while, and you know, they go away to college, or they get their first job, they move out mama's house, and then you know, they get a day, you know, like Pastor Cohn was saying, they start dating and start all kinds of other things, but that's a whole nother show. But we find out that they're cohabitating, shacking up. Or they're thinking about it. You know, some of them might even have a conscience and come to you and say, you know, Pastor, I'm thinking about moving in with my girlfriend, or we're going to share an apartment or something like that. How do you see a way to we address that?
Well, I usually, you know, I take an approach where I say that grace received has to be grace given. And when I'm looking at anybody that comes into the household of faith, it's about not trying to really judge them or gauge them from where they are or what they're saying, but where I believe that's God's best for them. And much like my brother, I think you learn to temper yourself, because if no more, this is one of the serious issues that personally I have with a lot of ministries and churches today, is that we condemn people so easily. You know, we want to be, you know how when you go into the stadiums and the games now, they wind you down and see if you got any weapons or you bring in anything illegal. It's as though that we do the same thing at the church, except we have sins and we value the sins by what we equate them to be from church to church, not what God has said. So, you know, when we open the doors and people come that way, I always look at it as a great opportunity. you know, a great opportunity to sit down and point them to God's best, you know, like Paul said in Romans 12, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, and then just try to get them to feast and to look at what God, what is God saying? He says he wants us as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, and let that be the restrictions and not necessarily what I would want to imply to them, but try to show them what God is saying in his word about our lives. It's so simple today for them to go and Google things and watch reality TV. And so that's what the church has as a big set aside to people that are living outside of the will of God. That's bigger than what we do in church when church is not done properly. So, you know, we have to align, walk with them, and not as much condemn them, but, of course, give them God's perspective about how they are not living, possibly not living in God's will, and then allow them to come to the fullness of the Lord. Because, again, I believe this, that if we take every opportunity that we could have like this, we would certainly be building stronger Christians, and then that would mean we would have the opportunity for greater impact in homes, and the homes is what represents the church, the location where we worship, and then in the community and in the places where they work, because people will feel the extension of the grace of God and be more willing to share and have people understand that I go to a church where people love me, regardless of who I am. So, you know, people watch all these TV shows where people shacking and just having random sex, and it's not a big issue. And, you know, people go and have children. And I've seen people in the church say because two people got together and had sex and had a baby that they should get married. I said, well, that let's see how this works out. I don't know that, you know, you should move in and get married just because you have a child. You know, we have to see how you go forward. So you sit down, you coach them up, you give them the necessary tools, you keep your arms around them, and then we see what the Lord is going to do with them, Brother Deacon.
Amen, sir. You know, I like that scenario you said there, because, you know, that's also another issue. You know, we hear, I've known folk who, you know, because they had kids, they come to the church and the church say, well, you need to get married. You already started a family. And I mean, without the, I don't know what we can call it, but the in-depth of seeing what their relationship is about, because they can have it just because you have a child doesn't mean you have a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean you have a godly or it's a good relationship. It could be something ridiculous that you're going back and forth with, but because you have a child, everybody's telling you you need to stay together. And that, again, if the church, if as men of God and as a church, if we stand on integrity and what's important, I think that's also an issue that definitely needs to be addressed, because we just assume because you had a child, you know, we have struggles with folk who are married when they have kids, because their whole relationship changes, and they need help with that. So just because, you know, folk come into the church and they have children, you want to get them married up right away. I don't know. I mean, that wisdom, I ain't got all that wisdom, and then God needs to, you know, you just don't know sometimes. But again, we have the Holy Spirit, we have the wisdom, we have discernment. And again, and what you both were saying here is about having grace and loving them. You know, that's one of the other things that I don't see these issues as great if we're going to engulf them in love, engulf them in the body of Christ. And I believe what you both were saying, we have to take time with folk. And that's going to be more than just Sunday. For the 2-3 hours on Sunday and a midweek service or midweek Bible study, we have to really, as the body of Christ, we have to be able to get engaged folks' lives and bring the word of God and keep it relevant to help them reach those areas of maturity. That because we put them together, now we're responsible, because now we have to be prayed up on that marriage, prayed up on that couple, prayed up on that family. We're just not going to put them together and say we married them and now, you know, we don't know what's going on behind closed doors. And this is where we have issues. Amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here with Pastor Maurice Cornwell and Pastor Arthur Thompson. Pastor Thompson, can you share some information about your church, how folks get in contact with you?
Well, currently, we just moved back to older church where, actually, where I got saved at, you know, First Baptist Church at 712 Randolph Street in Washington, D.C. You know, a nice, more or less traditional Baptist church. And we still operate as Living Water Ministry where we do couples coaching, and we sort of converted from counseling to coaching to sort of change the game on individuals. I found that a lot of our community people sort of found counseling as something that they ran away from. So we sort of looked at it as coaching to try to provide tools. We do pre and post marital counseling. Me and my wife have put in 35 years in our marriage relationship. And so we feel that it's very important for us to, you know, reach these younger people and broken couples to continue to restore and build up the marriage, because we believe that's God's ordained ministry and a cornerstone and very important to the life of Christians and the Christian community. So I'm on Facebook, Living Water Ministry. I have a website, Pastor Arthur, on a Webley that talks about officiant services and pre and post couples marriage ministry that we provide for couples throughout the area. Amen.
Amen, sir. Thank you very much. Pastor Marie Combo, share your ministry with the audience.
Yes, well, we are Uplift Through the Word Ministries. We're in Glen Burnie, Maryland. I'm originally from D.C. I'm very familiar with your church, with you, with Pastor, as well, saved and Brother Pastor. I am currently residing in Pasadena, Maryland. We have been here for about 14 years now. And our church is just about to go through our 8th year anniversary. Again, we are at 107 Mountain Road, Suite W in Pasadena, Maryland. We hold our services at 10 a.m. We have our Bible study at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. Our name is Uplift Through the Word Ministries, and our theory, our theme is, through Christ we are lifted to lift up others. We have different ministries that deals with the youth, the husband, the wife, the family, and yes, it's important again to, we have Grace Women's Ministry, we have Love, LOV, Lions of Valor Men's Ministry, we have the Divine Devotion for the young people, and we have the just outreach and youth youth groups as well. But when it comes to marriage, it's important that, like the Brother Pastor was saying, that we find a way to reach people and not to ostracize people. And, you know, there's so many scenarios, case scenarios that we could use when we talk about that. But that's what we do. We make sure we focus in on the Word. It's all about the Word of God, and that we're sharing the Word of God and keeping the Word of God center. And that's where most people fail, because they just don't have that Word of God that they hide in their heart that prevents them from sinning against Him, because they just don't know the Word. But when you take that Word and hide it in your heart, then you might not sin against Him. Brother Deacon.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. We're going to go through right now. I'm going to give you, brother, some pros and cons, and I'm going to get your responses from them. Because, you know, folk come to us, they're going to come to us with specific reasons on why, and we're going to come up with some pro reasons folk could give you, and I just want to get your response. I'm going to give each one of you one, and I give you opportunity to respond to it if they come to you. The first one we're going to talk about, I'm going to start with Pastor Thompson. It says companionship. You know, some people that cohabitating, they have someone, they're living together before getting married, they have a chance to experience marriage in its truest form. That's what they tell you. They want the companionship. They want to learn how it's going to be to live with each other. They want to see if it'll work out. What would be your response to that?
The Bible clearly states that a man will find a woman and the two will become one. And God doesn't give us any preconceived notions or ideas that we should like when we buy a car to test drive it. So what I say is that marriage is such a sacred and special entity that you don't want to mess it up before you have opportunity to experience it. Because one thing I tell couples, and I had two last week, and they both looked at me very weird when I told them this, is that there's a grave difference of living with somebody and being married to a person in the eyes of God. And from their eyes back to God, if they're saying that they want to do this in God's name, and trust me, when I'm coaching folk, when I'm sitting down with them going through the process, I'm having them fully understand that you're making a big commitment to God. When you say you want God involved in your marriage, that you're taking on a covenant agreement with God. And with that, you don't want to mess that up. And I've seen some brothers standing there when they see that woman come out that back door and just break down and cry when she's dressed up and looking beautiful, when she's not been defiled and looked at in a very different way that if you're living with somebody. So I'm quick to point to them and say that this is not like a car. This is a commitment that you're making before God. Back to you there, Brother Dixon.
Amen, sir. Amen. Amen. You know, that's right. You mentioned that. That right there could be a sensitive issue. Because, you know, people live together and, you know, they you know, there's the excitement and anticipation is gone. If you've been living mm-hmm. together 3-4 years, then your wedding day and wedding night could be a whole different experience. Amen. Pastor Cornwell, one of the pros people talk about when they talk about living together, shacking up, is some for financial stability. It allows them to have some financial stability and you know, they split the bill, they split in the rent. You got the BG&E, we got the cable. And one of my greatest and biggest sins that I've heard, and this is before I was saved, we got folk buying houses together and they're not even married. So what do you think about that, Pastor Cornwell?
Well, there are some real-life scenarios I've had with that. I had a couple. Now, this is tough right here from a worldly perspective. Let me paint this picture. I had a couple who came to me who were both retired. Okay, both spouses had passed away, and so as you were, well, both spouses have passed away, and one of them was retired, and one of them was like about 40 or 50 days out from being retired, and they had been living together, and they started coming to visit my church. And they asked a question. They say, listen, Pastor, I understand what everybody says about, you know, doing what's right, blah, 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 blah. But here's my problem. If either of us, if we get married, we lose so much money. Because right now I have my retirement plus my ex-wife, my deceased wife's money. She has hers plus her deceased husband's money. We could really live very well. We can, you know, we're living good. But if we get married, we lose at least one half of the income, you know, from our previous spouses that we have that benefit from being surviving them. And so, therefore, you're going to say to us, like many other pastors, that we need to get married and what we're doing is wrong. Is that what you're going to tell me? And I realized right then that, you know, to them, from their mindset, they were already predetermined that whatever I tell them, they're going to disagree with. So, again, I pointed them back to the Word. I said, I'll tell you what then. You have to decide what you want. How much do you love the Lord? And if you do you believe God is strong? Do you believe God is powerful? I started there. Do you think God is so weak that he can't? I mean, think about this for a second. He can actually keep stars aligned, not clashing to each other. He keeps this earth floating around this major star. You know, he keeps air separated from the water. You know, little things like that. He keeps the grass green. He keeps the sky blue. You know, he keeps your organs intact inside your body. He can handle all those things, you know. He can handle multiple universes and keep them straight, but he can't handle some little greenbacks. So So if that's the God you serve, then you keep doing what you're doing, and I'm not going to try to make you stop. But if you trust and believe in your God, it's up to you. I direct them toward scriptures like Colossians chapter 3. It says, from the very beginning, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things above, not on the things of earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid in Christ in God. So and it goes on down. It goes on to mortify yourselves. It goes on down for these things. But in verse 7 through 9, it becomes very powerful. In which you also walk sometimes when you lived in them. I'm sorry, for verse 6. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In which you also walk sometimes when you lived in them. But now you also put off these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthiness, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on a new man, which is renewed knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now, if that's who you are, then live according to the word. If that's not who you are, just keep, you decide to do what you want. But just understand that there's ramifications. Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man that does not walk, nor sit, nor stand around those things that are ungodly, that's wrong, that's cruel. And if that man is blessed, then that means that the one that do those things willfully is not blessed. And if you want to chance it and just keep on believing that your way is higher than God's way, do it. I can't make you. I'm not going to force you. You have to make up in your mind what you want to do. I can't put you in heaven or hell. I can't condemn you. There's nothing I can do. I can only tell you that from the Word's perspective that according to the Bible, if you really want God to bless you, you have to do it his way. But if you decide that, nah, I want to do it my way, that's fine. Just know that doing it your way is going to get your reward. Or doing it the world's way will get the world's reward. But if you decide you want to do it God's way, to trust God, then you make your decision. It may not appear to be easy from the world's perspective from the beginning, but I can promise you that God will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll never let you down. He'll always end up better in the long run than to do it your way all throughout. So, well, what do you think? And I put it back in their hands. What do you want to do? I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to make you. I just want to let you know that's the case. But I will say this. I can't put you into a leadership position.
Mm.
You know, I can't put you into a leadership position. You can be here, do all you want
to
do.
Oh, boy.
But because I have to do it God's way. But that's your choice. I love you. We'll continue to just pray for you. But that's that. But it's all up to you. It's what do you want? You pray about it. You think about it, what you want. And I always put it back in their court and say, how much do you love God? How much do you trust him? But if you don't think your God can do it, then do it your way. If you don't think your God is strong enough to handle some little green piece of paper, then maybe that's the God you serve, and you shouldn't do it his way because he's too weak to help you in the first place. So that's your choice. What do you think? And generally speaking, and this couple, just like those, they prayed about, thought about it, and then they end up somehow, some way, magically, deliciously, they end up finding some little ways to get some money to fall the right way, even if they did get married. And I said, well, who do you think helped you to see that? And in the end, they got married. Brother Deacon?
Amen, sir. Amen. You know, I like what you were saying there because that's it. I mean, when we help, you know, we share this. With all the excuses that folk give us for everything that goes on, the choices they make in their life, do you believe God, who he says he is? Does he have the power? You know, and that's the point. We look at our circumstances. We look at where we're at. We don't look to God and know that he's going to make it. Because, hey, I've been married a while, and I've been broke, and I've had money. But that had nothing to do with my marriage relationship. It wasn't stressed beyond belief. But, again, that comes, again, by faith and growing and believing God. And sometimes when we talk about trusting God, these are the things that we need to get folks to trust God about. Not trust about a car, not trust about a check in the mail, not trust about all the other things that we hear, but the trust in your life, where you are, and what you and what God has purpose for your life, and trust that he's going to get you to that place. We're all born with purpose. We're all born for a reason. We're not just happenstance to be here. Amen? You listen to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Fowler here, Pastor Arthur Thompson and Pastor Maurice Cornwell. And we're talking about we're trying to share some wisdom, hopefully bring some light to the issues of living together, shacking up. And we're just trying to share some wisdom with it. Pastor Thompson, I'm going to ask you, the next part we're going to talk about some of the advantages folk give us for shacking up together. You know, they don't feel like they have to get married. You know, they're pretty happy. Their relationship is going good. Everything's good. Why they think they need a piece of paper? Why they think they got to go into these? I think they're struggling with a commitment. But when they tell you that and they come to you and say, you know, we don't really need a piece of paper. We love each other. Everything is going so well in their eyes. And they don't see the advantage of getting married. What do you think, sir? How do we address that?
Well, again, I go right back to where my brother was at, and that's the fact. It's relational. It has to be relational. And I think if we as leaders in a church, if we exemplify a godly perspective, if we follow God's example, Ephesians 5:1, follow God's example, therefore, it's dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love just as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. If that's exemplified, we may get those questions, but they come in a very limited fashion. And traditionally, when you would get those kind of questions, I don't think you get them for people that have come into the fullness of understanding the relationship with the Lord. Now, that's not to say that that won't happen, you know, indirectly. But, again, I think what you just said in asking me the question, there's not a level of commitment. And that's where we have so many voids in the life of churches, because what Pastor Cornwell was saying is that we got leaders in churches that are in these positions and are asking the same questions. I mean, not in my ministry, but, you know, in other people's churches. And the reason why I say this is that I get people all the time that come to me and that are in churches serving on the choir and doing things, and then when they want to do it their way, they want to come and ask me to marry them because their church won't do it. But the church will let them be on every different level in the church. And so I had a sister this past week, and my question to her was, has she talked to her pastor? And she was like, sure, but they're not ready to do it, but I'm ready to do this. So I said, maybe we should all talk to your pastor, you know, so we can make sure that we're on one accord. But again, you find that people will find various reasons to come to churches and ministry and not fully make the commitment. But if we as leaders follow this example and love people like Christ loved us, then when they come with those kind of questions, they become a bit awkward because they know that they won't be received well. And I'm not trying to just take this for granted, but what I'm saying is that when we're loving people up, and it's often what I call loving the hell out of people, those expectations that they have will be pointed more to Christ. So, again, you know, I would try to have them come to an understanding about what is your commitment to the Lord. If you feel like that you want to be in a marriage and you want to be in not a marriage but a relationship with an individual and you feel that it's worthy, but then you don't understand when he's not responsible or when she's not responsible for everything that you would expect in a covenant relationship, you have no argument. There's virtually no argument. I can't expect you to come in and to love me unconditionally when we don't have an unconditional relationship. I can't come in and expect an individual to support me financially when we haven't agreed that the two are becoming one and we're working together to build each other up financially, because most of the time you find in those relationships, people, I got my money, you got your money, this is my car, this is your car, and, you know, they're not together as one. So it's as much as like two men living together as partners, you got a man and a woman living together, except there's intimacy involved. And when there's intimacy involved, that's a whole nother commitment and loss that can be suffered by not doing it God's way. And so that's how I stand with people, because if they want to continually come with that, it's explain to them the emotions that's tied in when you're sexually involved with people, but you don't have the commitment. And then when that person doesn't do what they want to do, what you want them to do, it's going to be some pain. It's going to be some pain. So that would be my way I would deal with it, Brother Deacon, because, again, it's trying to get them to follow Christ's example as I follow Christ's example, and then give them the plus and the minuses, the pros and cons about living together and the devaluing of it, of their relationship. Amen?
Amen, sir. Amen. I pray that was helpful for someone, because, you know, these are the things that folk, like you say, they jump into stuff and then they bring it all to the church, but you know, these are some of the things that you have to look at and consider. Amen. But what I want to do now, I want to talk to, I want to come to the teenagers, our young people, those under 20 years old. You know, we mentioned earlier, they have the media influence. They have what's going on in the world. They got their friends. They got, unfortunately, they got folk in their family who've been living together and they might live in a home where their parents is, shacking or whatever, got a boyfriend that's always there, spends the night three times a week, all this stuff. Now, how should we, as a church, as God-fearing, God-believing people, what must we do different that we can be able to influence this generation? Because, again, for the Sunday service and then the Bible study, but we got to remember these young folk, you know, they go home, they spend more time at home, and that influence is really great. So how do we share that? Like, particularly, like we were sharing it in a youth group. Again, these are some of the issues that we should be talking to our youth when we have their attention at that age, because those are the formative years. Those are the years of mentoring and discipling, that we can try and cut some of this stuff off at the root instead of waiting for the fruit on the other end. Pastor Coleman, let me start with you, sir.
Yeah, you know, most of the time, I just try to take them to look at what really is. See, because a lot of times, when you're talking about young people, they tend to emotionalize or romanticize, if you will, the situation, and not take an honest look at it. But when you slow people down, I truly believe the Holy Spirit is powerful, and He knows all things. He knows things that I don't. And when I leave it in the hands of God and truly trust Him as a person who is a seasoned saint, who has experience, I know that I didn't get here because of how smart I am. I didn't get here predicated upon how super spiritual I am. I got here by trusting God and having Him to move and show me what to do, especially when I did not know what to do. And I would turn that young person and say, hey, listen, let's take a look at how it really is. You know, I try to say, how have things been with your example? They're seeing their mom or dad have a living boyfriend or girlfriend, and seem to be fine with them because they want to do the same thing right now. But you say, have they had issues? Now, any person, you know, they come into you for counseling, and you just point it back toward them, and you trust the Holy Ghost, He will show them. You know, He will get a chance to say, listen, so how's that been? Have they had a perfect relationship, never argued, never fussed, never had any issues? That young person has to reflect back. And the most powerful thing is when a person says it out their own mouth. Because as long as they're saying that magically delicious statements that's just, you know, wow, so canned and perfect, and you're saying the opposite, but when you pause and get them to say, think about it and say what it really is, and they turn and say, well, they've had some arguments, it sets in as reality to that young person, because you're not saying it, they are. You know, as long as you're saying, well, you know, nobody, you can say it over and over, but when you pause and slow them down, I tend to slow them down and say, what do you see? And when they say, yeah, they've had some problems, really, had they ever argued? Had they ever struggled with money? Oh, yeah, you know, and they start pointing out different things, and the Holy Spirit will lead you as the counselor to where, what areas to point to. And when you point to those things, so this, they can't be blessed. The bottom line, I truly believe this, you cannot be blessed doing it, not doing it God's way. And like the pastor was just saying just now, you want to call, oh, God, help me. Oh, Lord, help us in our relationship. When you're saying, okay, now you want to talk about relationships? When your relationship was supposed to be based upon God from the beginning and you decided not to have it upon God, or you see that your mom and dad didn't have it upon God, and you said then when they got in trouble, they start calling upon God. God is not going to just jump in there and just say, oh, let me give you the same benefits of the people who has done it my way. Romans chapter 12 said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is only your reasonable service. And I put only in there, so for everybody on the phone who listening, don't jump on me. It's reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's what I would try to get the young person to see. You know, you have to decide what you want to do. Again, you have to decide if you want to do it the world's way or you want to do it God's way. And again, I try to get that young person to speak about those things. Have you had any, again, one situation I can point to that happened in real life, you had a couple who were arguing and fussing, but when the young kid came, a young person who's in their 20s, and they decided they wanted to go get out the house, they're tired of the fussing and the arguing, but they didn't want to say that. They were like, my parent, they have a good relationship with their significant other, so I can have one too. And I know people in church that do it. They'll be quick to say that. So why can't I do it? Well, you can. You can. You can do what you want to. But let's be honest. Let's look back at that. Once I looked back and pointed them to some things that have their that's part. Then it came out. That's one of the reasons why I don't want to stay there. Really? Why? And they'll say, because, you know, man, they argue too much. Really? Because God can't bless that. I'll say, do you think God is blessing that? No. Well, maybe. Well, you think God is in arguing? Well, no. You think God is in the fussing? I don't have to point out that all couples argue. I'm not going to point that out because that's not wise. I will point out what that problem is, and I did. And when they have this, do you want that for your relationship? Are you willing to sacrifice God's leading and God's guidance, the Holy Spirit's guidance, so that you can actually live with this person and end up having the same thing? I don't want that. Really, you don't? So then I think that, what do you think? Do you think you have your answer? And in the end, the Holy Spirit will guide you, and they'll say, yeah, no, I don't want that. So what do you think you should do? Well, let me wait and maybe see what God, I think that's very wise. And then you're their friend. You're working with them. You're not coming against them. You're not clashing with them. You're not fighting them, forcing them, making them, trying to convince them. You led them to the Lord. You let them and trust the Holy Ghost. Trust the Holy Spirit to do the work. And trust the Word to do the work. Once you put the Word out there, it'll do all the work all by itself. And you don't have to be, look how great Pastor Cornwell is. No. I'm just sitting here being a facilitator for the Holy Spirit to have his way. And in the end, that person will have to acquiesce to God. Brother Deacon?
Amen, sir. You know, I think that's some of the things that we definitely, one of the things that as a church, if we want to shape future relationships, future generations, we have to be able to speak to the young people. Pastor Thompson, what do you think, sir? How would we approach young folk so we can try and shape and mold them and prepare them for the male-female relationships?
You know, I've always found it I think almost to sum up what my brother pastor was saying is the fact that it's just keeping it real. You know, it's not trying to paint a picture of ourselves being perfect, but using our experience and certainly the power of the Holy Spirit to speak through us to the situation. This is kind of where with young people it's so valuable, and it makes so much sense as leaders that we learn how to listen to them. Because if we learn how to listen to them, and all we got to do is give them back what they're saying, and that's what makes all the sense in the world, because the Holy Spirit will instruct us, empower us to be able to point right back to them the stuff that they're saying out of their mouths that makes no difference. But bigger than that, and not, I'm not even going to say but, as well as that is the fact that, you know, relationships. You know, we just every Sunday and preach at them. I used to do a service in D.C. jail and central treatment for both male and females. And I used to go in there and, man, I was a young preacher and, man, I would have my stuff together and I would preach. And they'd give me 20 minutes. I preached 25 minutes. And they would just walk out the door, but I just start getting questions after question after question. And the Lord starts speaking to me. And then I feel like through the power of the Holy Spirit, man, they give me 20 minutes, I preach 15. And then I would give them the time to communicate with me about what God had me saying to them. And that changed everything. That changed everything because it wasn't as much like I was God, but I was sharing what God had to say to them, and then they had the opportunity to question and to share what it is that they felt about it, right or wrong, and open a dialogue that we could further along their relationship with the Lord and me being a facilitator, like, you know, again, my brother pastor saying, I'm not God, but I'm that advocate that wants to be pointing them toward God that they could be better. And, man, I'm telling you, this was 15, 20 years ago. I still could walk the streets of D.C. and find these brothers and sisters that will look at me and talk about the kind of things that led them to a positive lifestyle and a change that they had. But the biggest thing was I had to give them attention. I had to have them feel like they could communicate these things to me, right or wrong, and then I wouldn't, you know, beat them up for it, but I would love them up and give them God's perspective. You know, give them God's perspective, and that, in essence, would make them be better. And that's all you can do for young people because, you know, with social media, with, you know, and I'm on social media, and I thank God that a lot of these young people, I have access to them in social media because they friend me. And so if you invite me in, you give me the right and privilege to say to you, you know, what may not be the best conversation for you to be having or the best information. And that's what I do. I try to come at them. And, you know, I notice, and it's not only the young people, it's a lot of older people. I say, you know, you had some very strong lines of communication on your Facebook page or, you know, on Twitter. And I said, you know, I'm just asking you, how do you really feel? I was mad at that minute, but I said, you can't let the sun go down on your wrath because those words on your page stay there forever. So, you know, it's again, for me, it's relationally, and it's listening, you know, one mouth, two ears, and then trying to build up and not tear down, Brother Deacon.
Amen, sir. Amen. Hey, let me say, gentlemen, I want to thank you for joining us tonight. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and your insight. I'm going to come back to you. I'm going to go with closing statements, closing comments. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. You've been listening to us. We've been talking tonight here with Pastor Maurice Cornwell and Pastor Arthur Thompson. And we've been talking about shacking up, the consequences, the pros and cons, the ants. And hopefully we touched upon something that would give you some thought about where it is or someone that you know, and how you may be able to approach them. You know, there was a lot of wisdom here about we're not the Holy Ghost police, but we can give people the word. We can teach, let them understand the principle of what God wants the best for their lives, and let them, again, they have to make the choice. So I pray that this was a helpful conversation. Let me share real quick before we get ready to close tonight. Coalition of Ministries to Men presents Man Up. You are the watchman on the wall. Our conference is going to be on April the 9th, 2016, from 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Our registration fee is going to be $25. And this gathering will be an opportunity to engage men in our ministries who are on the fringe and encourage others to know Christ, to know that Christ has a plan for their life. And through him, he can overcome any and all issues he's dealing with. And the ministries that we're working together with six men's ministries. We're coming together in fellowship. We're coming together to share, to talk. We're going to be facilitating about three sessions in that time. And we're going to be talking about some real things. And also, as Pastor Thompson was saying, we're going to be engaging in conversation and building those relationships and fellowships. Because men, we need other men. And I always share this in my testimony. When I first came to the church, when the Holy Spirit came upon me, I had to stop hanging with certain brothers, because I always had other men that we hung with, and most of us do. But now, when we come into the church, you know, one of my biggest challenges was I came into the church and all these brothers went to bed at 8 o'clock, 8:30, 9 o'clock on the weekend, and I'm like, okay, that's it. That's what church is about. I see you two times a week, and there's nothing else really going on. But then as we mature, we need other men to be around us, especially to help. So this is what the event is going to be about. We're coming together. Hopefully we're going to build some relationships and fellowships, and the world would call it networking. We call it koinonia, because we want to put as many men in our circle of influence as we can, so that when we are not alone, that men in the body of Christ will have other men that they can talk to. I mean, having your wife is fine. Having a pastor is fine also. But I just need a guy. Sometimes we just need friends. A lot of men don't have friends and people they can just rely on. You know, because even pastors and elders and deacons, there's a certain amount of authority there. But that camaraderie, when we talk about peers in the body of Christ, this is what a lot of men need. But this is opportunity. As I say, you can go on Facebook, Issue of Christian Men's Talk. Follow us as we get the details. The location should be coming soon. This is February, so probably by the end of this month, we'll be open for registration online. You can contact us directly, one of the five churches. We're going to have brothers all over the place. You can reach out and register. And, again, that's going to be April the 9th, Saturday, April the 9th, 2016. Gentlemen, for your closing statements, start with you, Pastor Thompson.
Amen. It's certainly been a pleasure, you know, collaborating with you men here, just like what you were saying. There's value in that. I even was able to take a few notes here to preferably even help me, you know, even get better and continue to grow on this journey of sharing and trying to bring the body and the unsaved into the light of Jesus Christ. You know, again, the greater goal is that people will be able to get the best that God has for them. That's my only goal. I just want to help people get better, formulate a great relationship with Jesus Christ, and to continue to teach and share what's God's best for us as his children. The Bible says in, I think it's Isaiah, 119, Isaiah 119, it says that if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good things of the land. That certainly we have a great place in heaven to go, but what a greater opportunity if we can bring heaven to earth and have this great koinonia and fellowship with one another. Oh, what a big difference it would make every day in our land. Amen. Back to you, Brother Deacon.
Amen, sir. I thank you for taking time again out of your schedule. And, sir, you have an open invitation. You can join us again. We're going to be touching a whole lot of other things coming up. So you have an open invitation. If you're free, just, you know, contact me. And we have an open place for you at the table. And I thank you. Yeah. Pastor Cornwell, close the statement, sir.
Yes, first I want to say, Pastor Thompson, it's been a pleasure serving with you tonight. especially being one of my homies, one of my homeboys. So it was a pleasure actually serving with you, and I look forward to remaining in contact with you, because I think it's real awesome to bump into another brother who's just going to just keep it 100, as the young kids say these days. We'll be honest with these young people and be willing to just sell out for the word. And so I want to say that. And Brother Deacon, of course, you know it's always a pleasure to work with you. I think that... it's important for us as men of God, especially those of us who've had our transition in the Lord to come away from things we used to do in the street. You know, we weren't always living right, and even after we came to the Lord, we made numerous mistakes, and yet the grace of God somehow ended up operating in our lives, and that mercy kicked in and allowed us to see how he's a God of a second chance over and over again. I tell you, and because of that, it's imperative that we do the same thing with people who we're trying to be light and to the world, and not be such of our own light,
but to be that light, just like the moon does not reflect its own light. The moon is reflecting light from the S-U-N, the sun. You know, when you see that moon shining bright, it's not displaying its own light. You only see the reflection of the sun. We should be like the moon. We should reflect the light of the S-O-N, the sun. They should see that, and it should be shining so brightly because we're not reflecting our own, but what's shining upon us in that grace and that mercy and that love. And even though salt stings when it gets in your sore, in your open wounds, when we talk to people who want to or say they want to do things the wrong way, not according to the word, deep in their heart, within the heart of mankind, he knows that there's something bigger than himself. And by him or her coming to us as men of God, we need to, and women of God too out there, you don't have to be a pastor. You can be a seasoned brother or sister in the Lord. Young people come to you, just know, and you don't be afraid to be that light, to be that salt. Think, well, I might sting them a little bit. Yes, okay, sting them a little bit, but do it in love, and that wound will heal a whole lot faster, and it won't become an infestation. So I would say that. Just make sure you show love, and make sure that we use the word and continue to just allow, remember where we came from. The Holy Ghost has been with us the whole time, and we will be okay, and so will that young person, or even the older person that's trying to transform the same way we had to out of our situations. So thank you for this time, Brother Deacon. I really appreciate serving with you as always. God bless you.
God bless you, gentlemen. Thank you. And from my audience, we'll talk to you again on Monday at 8 p.m. for the next show, Issues Christian Men Talk. God bless you and have a wonderful night.